Horry County if you are appointed?
No.
Thank you.
I had a question of what the appointment will do to your current time commitments and service commitments that you have. What would have to change, if anything, if you were selected as?
I've been thinking about that and thinking about options for folks who can step in to do some of the things that I'm doing right now with the league. I presume I would not be able to continue to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission because I can't see a county supervisor serving in
right.
another capacity, so that would have to go. But I've been thinking about that. There may be some things I can give up. There may be some things that I can rearrange, and I would do that.
Linda, I just need a little clarification. On your questionnaire, it kind of sounded like you were unsure or unsettled in your thoughts about running to put your name on the ballot in November. Being a supervisor is a very rewarding and enjoyable job, but it's not always a fun job, as you know. What would persuade you to put your name on the ballot for November if you were appointed this evening?
I realize that the time frame is rather short in terms of determining whether or not one would run. But if I were appointed, I think I would have really some quick expertise or quick experience in working with county offices, with the other county supervisors. And I believe that basically if I felt I could be useful and I felt like there was support for me being a candidate, I would strongly consider it.
Thank you.
That's it.
Yeah. Go back and bring your
entry.
Everyone has gotten applause. It's very nice. Galen Wilkie is next.
Thanks. Now it used to be a fly on the wall in that room, right? That sounds pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm not often cold, but my hands are cold.
Okay, can I turn it up?
A little bit.
I get hot, my hands.
Because otherwise, it gets really hot in here. Do they have like emergency blankets under shirt?
Are you full?
My snuggie?
Yes.
Fred Werder snuggie.
Are you full? No.
She's used to it.
Okay. Yes. And then before you start, Patty is keeping time for us, so she'll first raise the time at 5 minutes, and then you have 7 minutes total if you choose to use them. So she'll show a sign at 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes, and then finally time, which is a scary red sign. But you're welcome to begin when you're ready.
Okay, thank you. I don't think I'll use all of the time anyway, so... first, I'll start by thanking you three. You've saved us the energy and expense of a general election, so I appreciate that. And I think everybody appreciates that there's no special election being held. I just want to say Story County is a great place to live and work, and it's not surprising that you have so many great candidates. I don't know what's going on in here, but there's a great discussion going on down there.
Yeah, we keep hearing that.
So it's a pretty active one. And I'm sure whatever decision you make will work out very well for Story County. So we have great confidence in that with the candidates that you have. What got me interested is that county government provides such a great range of services to the citizens. You know, if you look at the government services that we enjoy, most of it is county and city. And every encounter I've had with county employees has been a very positive one. My son has autism, and when you had Central Iowa Case Management, his case manager was a county employee, and she did a great job, and she was a very positive lady. And I understand the decision, by the way, to discontinue that and support that decision. But just wanted to comment on all my interactions with county employees have been very positive. And my interest is basically the chance to be a county supervisor is a great opportunity. I don't know. At first I was shocked there were 15 candidates, and now I'm quite surprised there aren't more when you think about the opportunity that's in front of us. I have no specific agendas or political agendas that I'm pushing. In fact, I'm very happy with the supervisors and what they've done. I have no complaints. I have no issues. I have nothing I'm here to suggest that needs to be changed. But I would like to see good continuity in government, and I'd like to see the good government that we've had continued into the future. So I'm not here suggesting that somebody needs to jump in here and shake everything up, and I think that would be particularly inappropriate with the election coming up. I would like to elaborate maybe a little bit on my experience, since my experience does not include a lot of local government experience. But the last two assignments I had were very similar in nature to this, in as much as they were both temporary assignments. My last assignment was Vice President and General Manager in the Middle East, and the similarity is unfortunate, but I was put into that role in a matter of a couple of days because of the untimely death of the guy that was filling that role. And it was a complex situation. We had a factory in Saudi. We had a factory in the United Arab Emirates. I had responsibility for the entire region. We had a lot of employees. And we were executing a really complex project for the energy infrastructure of Abu Dhabi. So it was a diverse, complex, interesting situation. And one of our focuses was to make sure that the employees kept doing their jobs, that nobody was distracted by the change in management, that there was continuity and consistency, that the areas that required discipline, the discipline was maintained. And I think I did a pretty good job at that. The one before that was a planned transition over a period of a year. It was in Asia Pacific. In the scope of that, in Asia, we had $300 million, or over $300 million in sales. We had about 1,000 sales staff and independent sales representatives that I was responsible for. And during the period I was there, we increased sales more than the budgeted amount. So both of those were stepping into transition arrangements. So that's a little bit of the relevance of my experience to the job here, since it did not include local government. I think I could be contributory and beneficial in the supervisor role. I think I could work well with the current supervisors and have a positive impact between now and the election. I do live in Ames, but I also believe the smaller communities in Story County, keeping them lively and vital is critical for the county's success. So that's really what I have. Happy to have your questions.
Okay. One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
No.
Thank you.
My question has to do with your current time commitments and what an appointment would do to change your current schedule.
Well, it, my schedule's wide open. I'm retired. I'm a bit bored sometimes. I do like to get out of Iowa in the winter, so this is very appealing to me. I have plans to go on Ragbri, and I have plans to take my son to Florida between now and November. But other than that, I'm able to jump in full-time, and I think this is considered a full-time role.
I just have one question for you, Galen. You kind of mentioned that you're not interested in filling the vacancy after November. Can you explain why?
I can't imagine running for election. It's never occurred to me that I could go and campaign and promote myself that way. And also, I do enjoy getting, I have the ability to do some travel, that I've taken advantage of, and I have travel plans in December and again in February and March, and it wouldn't be compatible with the responsibilities of a supervisor.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
No. Thank you very much.
Lauren Solson is next, great.
Okay, I know one of your masks.
As you are.
Poor women.
No, this is possible. So it seems that the place to be is actually in conference room A and B. It's sort of like, it's like how every party ends up in the kitchen. Now it's odd. It's three
days.
Yeah. If anyone is interested in speaking after the end of the presentations, we have a public comment section. We have these cards. Okay. Please fill them out. Please print neatly. This is the way that we can have accurate records for our minutes. I got my Altoids to keep me awake.
I'll take an Altoid. Thanks for sharing.
I guess now I have to share because Renee shared.
I'm going to pull one out here for a while and I'm done with my
own. Okay. This is the first one, right? Okay.
Welcome back, Laura.
Hi.
Okay, Laura. Patty is keeping time for us.
Okay.
She'll first hold something up at 5 minutes, and then she'll hold something up again at 6 minutes, and then 6.5 minutes, which is when you switch from yellow to goldenrod, and then the time is it's a red sign. So.
Got it. You don't have a squirt gun or anything, right? Okay. 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 I'm going to apologize right off the bat. I've had a cold that just keeps going and going and going. Okay. Excuse me. I'm Laura Solson. I'm a former journalist, as I've been identified recently. I have 20 years' experience covering local government, a decade covering Story County government. My first career was in mortgage banking, was Norwest, now Wells Fargo, so a Fortune 500 company. I was an assistant vice president. And part of what I did was corporate troubleshooting, which means my duties included budgeting, and it included employee management for 58 branches and about 1,000 employees total. I was the owner and publisher of Ames News Online, Ames 365, and the Ames Bulletin Board magazine. So I owned a small business, and times were tough some days. I also spent 2 years undertaking what I call a job shadow, following the supervisors around to thoroughly learn what their role is. In all my time in management, I was taught that if you truly want to find out about somebody, find out if they're really interested or invested in a job, watch to see what they do. First of all, do they show up? I've been showing up for almost 14 years, as you all well know. The next thing is you listen. Do they listen? Do they learn? Well, I've attended a long list of meetings, over 300 of them directly related to county, and I've studied programs, and I've followed projects, and I've studied over 1,000 documents directly related to either local city or Story County government. So I have listened, and I have learned. And every time I attend a meeting, I continue to listen and learn. Last, do you participate? Well, I have run for this office before against popular incumbents backed by the parties, and I have lost. I'm running now with a little bit more hopes that with a party I'll maybe win. But I participated. I've spent time outside of Ames despite being an Ames resident. I've both written about the county and the individual communities, and I've talked with people as I've door-knocked and campaigned twice before to find out what is happening and what is needed. I have contributed already. Two things I'd like to mention is that 2 years ago, gender balance, I brought it up when there was an appointment on the Public Board of Health, and there seemed to be some question about whether the county had done everything it could do to make sure that it obeyed the state law when it came to gender balance. I contributed by bringing up what I felt were some inconsistencies or lack of clarity in the Board of Supervisor agendas. As a result of that, when I came back after taking a year sabbatical or so off, I found more concise agendas with items being clearly identified as either action items or discussion items. And that was showed that I was being listened to by the supervisors themselves. I have some knowledge of every facet of the county government. I'm a little iffy on the weeds, okay, with what Joe still does. Beyond the facts, I understand the purpose of the county departments, how they operate, how they interact, and how they interrelate both internally and with the public. I believe that I have shown how much I respect county government and the importance of the services that it provides. Now, Story County has a need, and I would like to help. My knowledge is important in being able to work immediately with Supervisors Clinton and Sanders to govern, to manage, and to provide support for the county's other elected officials, including you. The depth of my knowledge will also be important this fall, when the county governments begin to, or departments start talking about their budgets, start talking about what they're going to be bringing forward in January during the budget workshops. But the time I have spent acquiring the knowledge about the Story County government, which is about 13 years, means I also bring context to the board. As public officials yourselves, you know that context is important when you make decisions. That without context, some decisions end up being fine for the individual topic or the individual moment, but they may be counterproductive or lack detail that is needed for a long-term solution. Once again, I want to help, and I'm prepared, and I'm asking that you allow me to help. Thank you.
Can you say
the lectern,
please?
There's some first
questions.
Sure. One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
Okay. I was divorced in 1991 and had medical problems, and I filed bankruptcy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I think my credit's all cleared up. It's been a while, but okay. And I make it known I am a recovering alcoholic with headed into 19 years of sobriety. Okay, but other than that, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Loris, if appointed, what will that do to your current commitments and schedule?
Well, since I'm already running and have a primary next week, it either means that I will win the primary, and then I will be doing what you have all done, which is work and run evenings and weekends to for the seat that I'm in the primary of. Otherwise, I will probably have to foster animals a little bit less, but I'm available otherwise.
Loris, if you were to get the appointment, being appointed versus elected, I feel that you have to earn the trust and respect not only of the employees, but also the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
In what ways do you feel you will earn that trust and respect within the departments of all the different employees and the county?
Sure. Okay. First of all, I am very aware that it is a three-person job for Board of Supervisors. Okay. Also, that it's an interim appointment. So as a result, things that I might be advocating out on the campaign trail are not what I would bring in during this six-month interim time. I would make an effort to get to know those county employees that I don't know. And I would try with everything I do, every conversation I have, to reinforce how I respect the employees and how I respect the government of Story County.
Any further questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Shaven. Now that we're down to a small, so I can find the report.
We've got three left. Keeping time for us, and
okay.
She'll first raise a sign at 5 minutes, and then again at 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes, and then 7 minutes is the max, and that's actually a red sign, so it's time. So.
Okay. You won't cut off the microphone, will you?
Yeah, we won't cut off the mic, but we won't.
We will give you a red light, though.
We won't hit you or.
Nothing will get thrown at me?
Yeah, but we will ask you to stop. So.
Well.
Very nicely.
I hope to be done before then.
Yeah.
So.
Begin when you're ready.
Okay, cool. Thank you, everybody, for allowing me the opportunity to speak here tonight. Some of you are familiar faces. Some of you guys are new faces. So I want to thank everybody for allowing me the opportunity to speak here tonight. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Scott Shaven. I'm a lifelong resident of the state of Iowa. I was born and raised in western Iowa. Grew up in a town called Carroll, which most everybody knows. First job I ever had growing up, I was fifth grade. Definite violation of child labor law, so please don't hold that against me. But first job I ever had was pushing a broom in my uncle's warehouse. First promotion I ever had was to clean his bathrooms. And learned the value of hard work that way. Eventually, he let me work the counter at his store, and I learned customer service. I worked that same job all the way through high school. I had a pretty tough mom growing up. She was a tough cookie. She always told us, one thing she always told us growing up was that when we turned 18 and graduated high school, she was going to break our plate and burn our bed. Not one kid in my family ever dared try my mom on that. She said, when you graduate high school, you're either going to go to college, go to the military, or you're going to pay rent. I didn't think I was smart enough for college, so I joined the military. I joined the United States Navy. The Navy said, hey, you are smart enough for college. So they sent me to electronics school. Spent my first year and a half going to school. Some of the most intensive training mentally that you could find in the world. Went out to the fleet, served our country, did 2 6-month deployments overseas, got to test the missile launcher a couple nights, learned the value of a college degree the hard way. One thing I did realize, though, is, hey, I do have a GI Bill and I can go to college. Realized I was smart enough for college, so I went to Iowa State when I got out. In May of 99, I moved here to Ames. Started college in the fall of 99. I graduated in 2003 from Iowa State with a degree in marketing. Didn't have any jobs lined up, so I went back to work for my uncle. This time I was doing sales. More customer service, more taking care of customers. Eventually, in 2006, I got in the car industry. Worked my way up into management. One thing I've always valued about myself is customer service, listening to people, but also service to your community. Whether it was serving our country, whether it was when I spent some time living up in the Arnold's Park area, I volunteered with the Arnold's Park Fire and Rescue. You get to see some people at their finest moments and some people at their not so finest moments. But nonetheless, you got to figure out ways to help these people. I'm at a point now in my life where I can still serve people. When this position came open, one of the things that I've learned to love as a member of the community of Story County is the fact that our current board has made great strides in both economic development and balancing the budget. Some people say I'm a tightwad. I prefer the term fiscal conservative. Potato, potato. But one of the things I pride myself in, though, is the fact that I'm not afraid to talk to people of all walks of life. As a sales manager at a car dealership, I've always told my staff, be nice to everybody. Listen to people. Next time on your day off, go up to Walmart. Take a look at that Walmart parking lot. Because for every car in the Walmart parking lot, somebody had to sell them a car. And it's really no different when it comes to local government. There's people from all walks of life that need help, but also, at the end of the day, the local government, you're running a business. You have to balance a budget. You have to make payroll. You have to look out for, at the end of the day, your boss is the citizens of Story County. I humbly ask for your support. I humbly ask for your appointment to this board, and I'd be honored if I was able to receive it. Thank you. I didn't get the red light.
Yeah.
Should I say ?
No. We just have a few follow-up questions for you.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you would want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
No. Straight answer is no. I've ran for public office in the past and felt the heat of much scrutiny. One of the candidates and I were just in the other room talking about this exact scrutiny of a politician and or elected official. And, you know, one of the things that whoever is appointed, whether it be tonight or June 8th, is going to have to be able to face scrutiny. There are people in the county and also probably in this room that feel that this position should be held through a special election. And whoever gets this appointment is going to have to be somebody that's willing to face that scrutiny from the first minute they take that oath. I'm willing to take that scrutiny.
I just had a question, Scott, about what an appointment would do to your current time commitments and schedule.
Great question. I've already spoke to my employer about it. obviously, there would be a balancing act that would have to take place. He does understand that this would take priority. However, he also understands that, he also understands that I would be an asset to still retain for whether it be part time or backup work with my current employer.
Scott, first and foremost, thank you for your service. We greatly appreciate that. In your answers, you mentioned that you would like to see our expenditures and income more transparent and understandable to the average citizen. I agree with you. I've tried to do that myself, and it's not easy, but if you were appointed, how would you foresee yourself doing to undertake that task?
Working more. You can work more with the media. You can also, when it comes to county government, create sections of the county website where the expenditures are easily accessible to both media and private citizens, whether it be anything from payroll to countywide purchases on the county level. Any, you know, if a check's being written on the county dime, the taxpayer should not have to go through a mountain of paperwork to see where any money of Story County is being spent. It should be easily accessible. It should be easily traced, and so simple that I'm a Western Iowa kid, so simple that the average person can figure it out.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Quarters of the way through.
Three.
You're always jumping ahead. So optimistic.
Trying.
Supper?
Yeah.
I'm going to call your mom.
She's in Canada.
Oh.
Welcome back, Ted.
Hi, Ted.
Good evening.
Before you start, Ted, Patty's keeping time for us, and the first time she'll raise that is at 5 minutes, and then she'll raise one at 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes, and then file time is at 7, and it's a red sign, just says time. So, you're welcome to begin when you're ready.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Madam Chair, members of the panel. I'm Ted Tedesco from Ames, former mayor of Ames. Came to Ames in 1954 to go to Iowa State College and remained in the community. Went in business for 46 years. I was president of Knapp Tedesco Insurance Agency. I was the registered property and casualty agent for the Board of Supervisors for over 25 years and have been to every department, worked with practically everybody in the county in various roles. I was involved in Ames politics. I served 5 years on the Planning and Zoning Commission, 4 years as at-large council member, 8 years as mayor. I was privileged during those times to do some projects that involved all of the people of the county. One was the Ames-Story County Affordable Housing Project, and we put together a group, formed a budget to build some affordable housing within the county to help people start to get ahead by owning property. Each participant community was assessed according to their size. We built several houses here in Nevada. We built several in other communities. That also became a very the first of its kind in the state and is still being used around the state today. I am now serving my 9th year on the Story County Conservation Board, which I thoroughly enjoy very much. But we have set goals on that board that how can conservation not only solve the problems of water quality, but provide also recreation to encourage young people to stay within our county, and how can our projects also help the smaller communities? I believe with my previous qualifications and experience that I could come and fill this position and sit down the very first day and start to work. I want to be a very positive member of the board. I understand, because we did it as city government. We do it at the county conservation level, and I know the Board of Supervisors sets goals at the beginning of the year. I would like to come and be a positive force in helping to accomplish these goals before the next supervisor would come on. So I thank you very much for this opportunity. I may not be the smartest guy in the room, but I will listen and I will make decisions. Thank you.
Of the requirements for appointment, one of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
Nothing that I'm aware of, and I am over 18.
Yeah, just a little.
I had a question about if appointed, what that would do to your current commitments. I know you serve on the conservation boards and other service commitments that you have out there.
I guess I would refer that to Jessica Reynolds. I would assume, do I have to resign that position if appointed? Yeah. And that would be fine. I only have 1 year left, but it's been a very exciting 9 years.
Ted, thank you for all your hard work and dedication to Story County and all the residents. What can we do to persuade you to put your name to fill the vacancy for November?
I'm not sure I can answer that, Renee. But I do think that I do have the experience for this short term to really be a positive force. And that's where I think people with experience should step up and do those kinds of things when they become offered. I and my family have always participated because we felt that both the community and the county have been very good to us, too.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you, Ted. Thank you very much.
Nielsen.
I have two left.
Now you can say two.
Is that another ballot?
Hmm? No, we have two more to present. Yeah, no, 13 total. So I think at the end we can. Yeah. Because then we're gonna bring them all back in anyway. So.
Okay, for public comment question.
Yeah.
Can we make them stand over there?
No, the public comment is just kind of like. Dave, before you start, just Patty is taking as our timekeeper. Okay. She will hold up the first time. She at 5 minutes, and then again at 6 minutes, six and a half, and then 7 is the final time. So
okay.
Just keep an eye on her.
Well, sometimes
if you see a red sign, you got to stop.
Sometimes more is less, and hopefully. Hopefully we just won't have to worry about that. Good evening, everyone. My name is Dane Nielsen. Thank you all for being here tonight. First and foremost, I just want to take a moment to recognize the fact that the reason that we're here is because of the loss of a great man and a great leader for Story County and Paul Toot. He was a selfless servant, and his contributions to this county and this Board of Supervisors can't be understated. Like I said, my name is Dane Nielsen. I've lived in Story County now for 8 years. In 2010, I graduated from Iowa State University, and decided after that to make Ames my home. Worked for a couple of years here in Nevada, and have also been involved with organizing several different 5Ks here. I've also been involved with musicals and 5Ks in Story City. I love this county, and it would be an honor to serve on the Board of Supervisors. I grew up in West Liberty, a small town of about 3,500 in eastern Iowa. It was there that I learned firsthand the value of growing up in a small town. There were 76 students in my high school graduating class. And when I graduated in 2004, I never would have dreamed the things I would have actually done by the time I turned age 30. I've run for the Iowa House of Representatives as a candidate. I've recorded my own CD. A couple weeks ago, I ran my first marathon. And yet, of all these things that I've been involved with and all these things that I've done, the most intrinsically rewarding things I've done are those where I'm serving others. Each summer, I volunteer at a camp for children with diabetes and make an influence in their life. I've organized 5Ks to benefit veterans. I've organized singing contests to benefit victims of domestic abuse. Every Sunday morning, I volunteer at my church on their parking team, and I've been involved with a lot of other volunteer activities as well. It's that spirit of service that I would bring to the Board of Supervisors if I'm elected this evening or in the future. As we all know, Story County is one of the youngest counties in the state of Iowa. Our median age is 26.5. and over 72% of our population is under the age of 45. The second largest age group is the group immediately after the traditional college age group, the 25 to 34 group. This group is the future of Story County, and as such, they should be represented in the decisions at the county level that can impact their future and their decision to stay here in the long term. We must continue to make the entire county appealing to young families as economic development brings more and more jobs to the area. I would like to see the county continue to work with our smaller communities to aggressively pursue those economic opportunities. The effort to provide grants has proven to be a successful tool in bringing that growth here. Zeering is a great example. They were able to bring in a pharmacy for the first time in their history, and that allowed seniors the opportunity to be healthy and stay in their community. The best way to assist in those efforts is to ensure a stable, balanced budget. The work of Supervisors Toot, Sanders, and Clinton in the past several years has been a golden example of working together to reach compromise while ultimately balancing a budget. And this has been an example that, frankly, other counties can look to. The job of a politician is to be liked. For anybody who's looked at my resume, you know I've worked for a few of them, and I know that to be true. The job of a leader is to lead, and in the process, earn the respect of those they serve and those they serve alongside. Nobody is ever going to agree with me 100% of the time. I don't even agree with myself 100% of the time. And there's also going to be those who disagree with me most of the time, and that's fine. I hope to earn the respect of the voters of Story County and build consensus on the issues that we do agree on, not just through the end of this year, but also in the future. As I mentioned earlier, I ran my first marathon a couple weeks ago. That was a far cry from early 2012. My good friend Brett Barker said, "Hey, Dane Nielsen, you should run a 5K. I was 250 pounds at the time. I looked Brett in the face and I said, "3 miles? You, sir, are out of your mind." That was in February. On May 5th, I crossed the finish line of the Story County Medical Beat the Streets 5K right here in Nevada. And at that time, I could have thrown in the towel and said, "Hey, I reached my goal. Next challenge, please." But I didn't. Through that hot, muggy Iowa summer, through June, July, August, I continued to build my mileage up, leading up to early September when I went over to Boone and ran my first 10K, and then mid-October when I ran my first half marathon, 13.1 miles. And again, a great moment. I could take a moment to pat myself on the back, but why? It was a lot of sweat, it was a lot of work, and it was a very rewarding moment to cross the finish line. And again, I could have called it quits there, but I kept going. Over the next several years, 14 more half marathons. And then in January, I decided that I was going to do something that I had never done and frankly never thought I would actually do, and that was to run a full marathon, 26.2 miles. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, and frankly, you're right. But those next 5 months of training for that full marathon were some of the most challenging moments of my life, physically and especially mentally. There were hot, sunny Sunday afternoons as I ramped up my miles, first 14 miles, then 15, then 16, then 18, then 20. There were days I was so hot I thought my legs were going to fall out from under me and there's no way I could finish that particular run. Some days the nausea was so bad I couldn't even think when I was done. Yet, that entire time in the back of my mind, I knew there was absolutely no doubt that I was going to cross the finish line in Green Bay on May 22nd, and that's exactly what I did. And when I did, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. I set a goal, I made a plan, I delivered results. That's the same kind of work ethic that I would bring to the Story County Board of Supervisors if I'm fortunate enough to be appointed. Thank you very much for your time. God bless, and I look forward to your questions.
Okay. We do have a few questions for you.
One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you were appointed?
I've been involved with musicals. I'm a theater kid, so there's always things out there. No, kidding. I have nothing to worry about in that regard.
Thanks.
Dane, what would an appointment do to your current commitments that you have?
I'm actually in a great position professionally to do this. That was one of the biggest reasons for me to even be able to pursue this. It was just timing of it. I left my last role, wanted to find something more intrinsically rewarding, and so this actually presented a great opportunity to come forward and put my name where there was a need. So I would be a seamless transition.
Thank you.
Dane, we had a number of females apply for this position as well, relating to the fact that we need to have a more gender-balanced board of supervisors. In my 6 years, we have not had that, and we have not had any problems. What is your opinion on that?
I think that at the end of the day, there's 13 candidates. I think that's right now. 13 candidates who have very unique qualifications to bring to the table. And so I think that everybody's got their strengths. Everybody's got their weaknesses. At the end of the day, the voters decide generally who is on the board. I know that, you know, all three of our current positions for the recorder, treasurer, and auditor are filled by females, if that wasn't clear to everybody. So, again, I think that at the end of the day, you know, you guys are going to pick the most qualified person regardless of gender, and I trust, frankly, your abilities to make that decision regardless of if it's me or a female or whoever.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jenny's last.
Last one, people. Lucky 13, coming out.
It's the general consensus of the committee that after Mr. Chitty's presentation, we will take a short break. First of all, because we have to get all the applicants back in the room, and then it might just be needed for
a small letter.
You can put that in minutes, will you?
Please don't.
Okay.
Welcome back, Marty.
Before you start, just Patty's keep your time for us. Right across from you. She'll first hold up the sign at 5 minutes, which means you have 2 minutes remaining. Then again, at 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes. And if you see a red sign, because you probably are supposed to get your readers on, that means you're out of time. And you're welcome to begin.
I wish you'd made the font a little bit bigger on your sign, but there you go.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I made them sort of last minute. And then we'll have a few questions with you at the end, but you're welcome to begin when you're ready.
Well, good evening. I'm Marty Chitty. I am a lifelong resident of Story County here, and I came from work, so there's no hiding where I work. I'm the FedEx guy in Story County, or on this side of the county, and I'm a 24-year employee. In addition to being living on my folks' farm north of town, my wife and I are raising 2 children here in the community. I'm the 9-year member of the Nevada School Board. It's been the last 6.5 years as its president. Before I go any further, I wrote a letter to Paul on May 3rd, and we lost him on May 6th. As a stakeholder, in Story County we were reached out to in regards to the Iowa State Research Park organization. And I spoke to him about a specific subject, but it gives you a bit of an overview to show you what I'm talking about. Paul, I would like to extend first my appreciation for the vision provided by Wayne, Rick, and yourself for these past 4-plus years. The restructuring of this county's government was long overdue and didn't appear to be an easy task. While you may have many things that you wish to see done, I want to say to you, thank you. The difference is both seen and unseen, but it has all been positive. The movement to insert the county's place in encouraging growth is a minimum position. Growth seems to be confined and sporadic, if not that it happens at all and throughout this county. The board's use of funds, TIF, etc., has done much good in our smaller communities, but with the courage to take on it an open-ended TIF zones in the county, you should also entail the will to end them at their conclusion. They remove monies from both the Colonesco and the Nevada School District for 20-year stints and are only reimbursed by the state at 90% of the dollars taken. Nevada School District is either the 9th or the 11th, it depends on the year, highest TIF school district in the state. I'm unsure about Colo's standing. My fervent wish to see an end to each school's TIF zones in the county and see the dollars used to things that, other than the Iowa State Research Park. In short, don't commit a temporary funding stream to a needed renewal by a decision made today. So I'm plainly shown clarity on who and how much would be blah, blah, blah. I just wish you to know that my feelings in regards to the county government and both police consumer thereof, I believe we've been well led. Paul and I graduated from Nevada, classmates. We walked through life together. We have raised families together. We found ourselves tethered here in the community, and we have done our best to make this a better community in our time. In my time on the Nevada School Board, I have many qualities that mirror some of the responsibilities that are done at this table by the board. In regards to, we are a taxing agency, we have the employment issues, we have a bargaining unit, what money are the job requirements that I take on and expend are both seen here on the county level. I would offer sucker and heartache in the sense that as a board member I both raised and lowered the taxes, and I have equal ease at doing such because I believe a cause worthy of taxpayer funds as they are derived from the community should be funded, and but we should be looking for economies of both scale and looking in places that no government organization with the ability to tax should be a holding entity for the people's monies. They should be able, I believe that people's monies that they earn are best left with them. I have had the opportunity through service by an appointment in 2011 and 12 to serve on the Government Restructure Committee. I had taken that 1-year stint to learn the county government in a level and to a depth and to a degree that I think would be have great service to the county going forward now, and I offer my experiences learned therein. I realize that the Board of Supervisors have a direct responsibility to a smaller portion of the government, you know, the county government that people realize. We have elected officials. The people have spoken on their behalf, said these are my elected representatives. The board has the power of the purse, but they are entitled to run their agencies as they see fit. I have a few issues that have jumped to mind as I watched county government take place that I have seen come through these doors and into this chamber that I find of interest to myself, not the least of which is water quality. I live out in the country. I see the progress that has been made. I know there is much progress to be made, and I look forward, if given the opportunity, to exploring that. Paul and I had a classmate that is in and out of the news and is a person of some I think misunderstood, but his name is Bill Stowe, and if given the opportunity, I would not hesitate to look at a phone sitting on a desk in that office in there and say, calling down in the morning and asking Bill if there's something that he could tell us as a county and as a county government, maybe there's something that we could do on an educational basis that might start a process. I watched this town, this parking lot, I watched this portion of the town, and I watched the angst of the people coming into town when we had the eminent domain discussion in regards to our pipeline. I'm very libertarian in my belief that individual property rights are something that is, if not quite sacred or sacrosanct, that a high bar must be met for them to be violated. And I think that we do not have the mechanisms to address them from the county level, and I would like to see us, you know, reach out to our individual legislatures to please empower us to make decisions that would impact people in a way that we could serve the people as we were elected to do. That said, you said out in the county and you see livestock confinements that are done in a way that they have no abilities to address. The DNR matrix is one that gives no teeth to the county to address, and the heartache, and you cannot blame officials with no tools to address. We must take these to our state legislatures, local, and at the end of the morning. I'm a leader that tends to lead, but I can be led. I have a Missouri approach to government. I like to be shown what it is, prove to me that it's worthy. I will justify its expense. And I have a Hippocratic oath that I lead with, in the sense that I first will do no harm, and my intentions are to leave this place better than I found it. If given the opportunity, I will do just such. Thank you.
First question. One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or storytelling if you are appointed?
No.
Marty, you currently serve in an elected position on the Nevada School Board, and that actually is allowed under Iowa code to serve at two different levels of government.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, I want to know if that would change if you were appointed to this position.
I have started the process and discussion with that graduation here in Nevada on Sunday, and while we didn't have the entire board, we were only missing one member. I put it before the members that were in attendance with me. Here's what I'm looking at, because I really have not, I only made this decision, I came to this decision to run last week, and so I really didn't have a lead time, and I thought, well, let's not put the cart before the horse. But I have comfort from the board members that I spoke with in Nevada that I could continue on, and they see somebody that would sit on the Board of Supervisors as a resource. That said, as board president, I had the ability to build the agenda in a way that would bring this before the public so that we could do it in an open meeting as information to be addressed as such. If there's discomfort, I would probably step away from the Veda school district.
Okay, thank you.
And what about FedEx, Marie?
FedEx, I have the ability to move, as this is a temporary position, I have the ability to place my career on a leave of absence. I would have to see going forward where the summer and fall would lead. My ability is I can downgrade from a full-time position to a part-time, leaving me with the ability to do this job on a virtual day-to-day basis. So I have a 24-year employee with a good record and a good standing and such. We are closing out our fiscal as of tonight, and I have a tender in the system, but as we came through the holiday weekend and the end of the fiscal, as I was told by somebody, I believe, in Memphis, that you're nowhere near the top on the decision-making right now, Mr. Chitty.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Marty, I think you can say we're bringing everyone back in.
Yeah, we're actually, it's 8:01. We'll take a short recess, and we'll come back at 8:10. At that point, we will ask for any public comments to speak for, in favor or, I guess, against any of the 13 candidates that we have. Reconvene the meeting. Okay, we're actually halfway through the agenda. For those of you keeping score.
Thank you all for staying.
Yes. Right now is the public comment section. This is for people to speak. for any candidates, any of the 13 candidates, I would ask that you fill out one of these. We have four people that have already asked to speak. You will go and sit and speak into the mic there where we were doing timekeeping. If possible, please limit your comments to about 3 minutes or so in the interest of time. We don't have timekeepers for that, but if you can be succinct, it is greatly appreciated. So with that, the first person I have who would like to make comments is Rody Laudensha from Ames. If you want to come up to the mic.
Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
As you have heard, my name is Rody, spelled R-O-D-Y, Laudensha, L-A-U-D-E-N-C-H-A. I'm a resident of Ames. I've been an island resident for almost 48 years. I've been a Stark County resident for almost 40 years. I'm a retired state employee from Iowa. So I'm very interested in all the appointed, elected, or whatever chosen officers that we have for our state, for our county, and for our cities. I have heard these 13 people who are trying to apply for this particular job. I don't envy these three people in front, who are they going to choose? Because I have inserted and they are all good. But just like in this universe contest, there's only going to be one. So I am here, and of course I am going to vouch for the person I am here for. I heard several times the word trustworthy, the word integrity, the word respect, the word commitment, and the word leadership. I also have been in the position of taking care of people, working with people. It is tough. But if your choice is one who can be trusted, one who is honest, one who has integrity, one who is a Christian, one who loves God, and I know probably you're going to hate now when I say those things. But to me, in my experience, I have lived a long time on this earth, and my experience says, if there is any elected official, appointed official, or chosen official on any particular office, I would say 101%, if you have a Christian, a believer in God, you have a good candidate. I am vouching for Roxanne Lass. I have known her family for more than 20 years. Her father is a minister. Her mother is a Sunday minister. Is a director of the choir. I belong to the Calvary United Methodist Church in Ames. Reverend Dodd is our minister. And so all I'm saying is probably what I'm saying here now is that all these guys talk about something else. And that's probably why we have problems in this world and we have problems in the U.S. of A. So as I'm vouching for Roxanne Bax, and I hope she gets disappointed.
Thank you.
Okay, next I have Floyd Manwiller, Willen?
Manwiller.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I signed up to speak for Roxanne also, but she did such a good job, I don't think I can add much to it except the fact that she's really what you see. She is really people-oriented. She cares about everyone. She works well with anybody. She has a lot of experience in the public interacting with people. And like Rody said, I would back her 100%, although we've got 12 other people, really good. You folks have got a big job.
Thank you. Thank you. Next is George Weston from Ames.
Good evening, everybody. My name is George Weston. I am a PhD candidate in sociology at Iowa State University. I got my Master of Public Administration from a university in Kansas that's focused on ag, so I'm not that here. I'm also a federally commissioned officer from Fort Benning and in the National Guard. So first I want to recognize Kasirich and Mr. Chen. Sorry if I pronounced the names wrong, but I think if they are selected that they would be great candidates as well. Have that leadership experience, come from a military family, and also come from a family of volunteer firefighters. I was a volunteer firefighter, so recognize Mr. Whitaker for that great presentation as well. Bright future for you, whatever you do. But I'm here to speak on.
George, hold on just a minute. I think the mic is off. There you go.
Oh.
Can you repeat?
I could have just gone with my military voice and gone a little louder. Sorry about that. Say that one more time. Or
who would you like to support?
I would like to support Dane Nielsen at this time. I've known Dane for almost 6 years now. Got to know each other through various leadership positions, organizations. He's an individual that is able to convince you to do things that you necessarily don't want to do. This is my first county meeting. He was like, oh, it starts at 5:30, but you should be here at 5. I was the third person here because I thought there would be a lot more people here at 5 o'clock. So he's also able to convince people to get the job done. I know that gender equality and the balance was discussed various times. One thing about Dane Nielsen is that, yes, he is male, but he has a history of empowering women to take on leadership positions in organizations, whether that's while he's the leader of those or passing it on to the next generation that follows him. And he is correct that there is a very young population here in Story County. I think he would be best to represent this county. So with that, I hope that Mr. Nielsen is elected tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And if anyone is feeling the desire to come up and speak, fill out one of these forms. If you just would like to come to the mic and tell us your name and spell it for us, that's fine too. But next is Evan Berger from Slater.
All right. Can everyone hear me?
You're good.
All right. Excellent. I'll try to make this quick. So my name is Evan Berger. I'm from Slater. And Brenda Brink is my mother. That's not the reason I'm up here right now, though. I'm up here because, I love Story County. I grew up right outside of Huxley with my parents, obviously. Went to school in New York, and I chose to come back. My girlfriend and I just bought a house in Slater, and we plan on being here for the rest of our lives. So, I really am very committed to this county for the long haul, and that's why I'm up here. I'm up here because my mom happens to be my mom, but she just laid out a very clear vision for the county. She laid out a vision where the county protects water quality in this, our territory against, bad pipeline deals, against bad factory farm plans. She laid out a vision where we give everyone in the county a living wage so people can actually get by in the county. She laid out a vision where certain communities aren't stealing from other communities through tax increment financing. And finally, she laid out a vision where the board itself is kind of showing leadership in how we want government to work through gender balance and through having meetings at times that working people can actually attend, and younger people, as well, as she mentioned. She is my mother, but I'm up here tonight because that's a vision that I agree with. I would support any candidate that signed on to this vision. I heard different people kind of articulate different parts of that and sign on to different parts of that, but she's the only one that I heard that laid out all four parts of that vision, and that's why I would urge you, the three of you, to appoint her to this position. Thank you.
Next, we have Susie Petra from Ames. And then anybody else who wants.
Good evening. It has been so disappointing and so frustrating that we in Story County don't have local control, that we have such limited ability to do anything about our clean water, about clean air to breathe, and about healthy soil, that we are so limited. And I'm looking for, I hope you're looking for, a person who has some backbone, who would give leadership when it comes to speaking to the legislature and getting them, encouraging them, demanding that it is time we have local control. That plus eminent domain, I think, is something I'm looking for. I hope you are in leadership because we should have more control over the quality of life here that we want in Story County. And I know two people did articulate that, and I do hope you look seriously at that. Thank you.
Did you want to name names?
No, this is in general for you,
okay,
three, because you have a lot of qualities to look for, and I'm asking that you really pay attention to those qualities that we want here in Story County for quality of life.
Okay. Thank you, Susie. Gentlemen, come approaching the mic.
My name is Mike.
Hi, Mike. Can I get your last name, too?
Bryant, just like Colby.
Yeah.
B-R-Y-A-N-T. And I didn't fill out a card, but those that know me, I'm a little different than the normal grade anyway. I'm going to pitch my support for Mr. Whitaker. I worked with Dave. I also worked at the Ames Fire Department. I can tell you, I've seen a lot of things, and I've seen a lot of people before and after me there. I've never seen a guy that was less afraid to try anything. And as a side note, I don't know of anything that hasn't come out positive for him. So either he's really good or he's really lucky, and I think he's both. But it would be not correct for me to, like I said, having worked with Dave, maybe know him a little better than some of you, to not get up this evening. I just kind of came to see what the whole show is all about as a citizen, and it would be a large absence if I didn't throw my support for Dave. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Anyone in the audience wanting to make a public comment? Really? Okay.
Welcome, Annie.
My name is Andrew. I work for Story County. Excuse me, secondary roads. My opinion is not the place of one of our supervisors to be an activist or have really hard, entrenched pet projects, because that kind of person tends to get poked, gets tunnel vision on those individual things that are after. My opinion is our supervisor's point or place to manage business and accounts. They need to watch our bottom line, supervise the departments, make sure that we have in all our departments what we need to complete our duties to support the citizens of the county. Citizens will take care of themselves. All that they need is the environment that they can do that. One of the candidates here I know has a huge history of living on a bottom line and making sure that bottom line is solid. And Charlie Hood is his resume of following bottom line and creating success is very expensive. And I really think he'd be probably the best person for that position right now.
Thank you. I see a man standing. Here we go.
Emmanuel Das, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, D as in David, A-S-S. I'm pastor of United Methodist Church in Calvary, United Methodist Church in Ames, Iowa. And first I want to thank you all for setting the air conditioning at 68. Remind us about the cold, Iowa cold weather of winter. I know you have a list of very qualified candidates, and as a father, of course, you all as parents are bad for your children, and so I'm not going to say much about that because I think my daughter has a generous spirit and a serving heart, and she's always out to serve others and to do the best for others. You have, as I said, very qualified candidates, and I pray that divine wisdom be with you as you deliberate and make that choice and select someone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak? There we go. Don't be shy, people. It's a public meeting. It should have public involvement.
Hello, my name is Ann Whitaker, A-N-N, and then Whitaker, W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R. And as most of you can probably figure out, my husband is David Whitaker. And as Mike touched base, I'm just going to say that my husband... anything he puts his mind to, he gives 100%. He likes to say he's 110%, logistically that's not possible, but 100% he does give to whether it be the community, anything he does, he's just always putting himself out there for others. So whether it be at the fire station or be here, he will give you all that he has. A lot of people are like, aren't you concerned about your family? Family is very important to him, but we always support him. We're a team. So wherever he needs help, I fill in. So that's the farming end of it. That's me. I'm the farmer. But, and the mother. And sometimes the father, but he does fill in, and the boys love him. And he just, they say, whether daddy's going to be an auctioneer or a firefighter or even a government official, they're ecstatic, whatever he does. So, number one, he's daddy, but he's also the fireman, the house builder, all of that. And like I said, he gets 100% to whatever he does. So, I stand behind him, and like I said, we're a team. Thank you.
Thank you. Trying to see who's willing to make eye contact with me. Sure. Please come to the mic.
I am Cassie Dodd. There are three things that I just want to share with you about my daughter that made me always worry about when she tried to do something. When she was in college, in SMU, there was a janitor who was a student. They graduated together. And when the graduation was over, everybody's family went to greet one another. Their best friend went to greet one another. And she turned around and went to hug this janitor. And she was the only one to recognize him. And that's the kind of heart she had. And then when she was in Williamsburg, it was the, can you remember the blizzard a few years ago? It was a really hard, it was really a blizzard that nobody, there was a truck that was stranded in the highway. And there was nobody who can take a picture. And all of a sudden, I sent me a picture. And I said, Pakistan, how did you get this picture? He went down to the beach, climbed the white fence just to take the picture, because for her that was a very special picture to take for the people in Brunei. And that job that she wants to do, it has done. And that's how determined it is when she wants to do things. And I know that if you will give her the opportunity, she can do things now.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's just my point. As a mother, since she was 3 years old, I was always concerned when she would give me a picture and say, don't worry, Mom, I take care of myself too.
Thank you.
How many from Scott Shaven's mother who promised to burn his bed and break his nose?
Did you bring her with you, Scott?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak? Going once? Going twice? Okay, I am going to close public comments at 8:31, according to my phone. What? Well, it's the end of that agenda session, or section. Okay. All right. Our next item is consideration of appointment or of selecting finalists. I'd be willing to just sort of take a pulse and see where the committee senses we're going this evening.
I'd like to share just a few comments that okay. I said, and I wrote them down because that's what I do. In reviewing each applicant, there are three or four that are real close in ability that are. I mean, all of the applicants are very, very good, and I appreciate all of you taking the chance to put your name in the selection process. In my opinion, the qualities that I look for is a person that's knowledgeable and has practical experience. They have civic involvement, and I also prefer an applicant that's willing to run for the open supervisor seat in November. As an elected official, you are charged with serving the community and the citizens of Story County, and I take that very, very seriously. So those are just a few things that coming into this that I'm bringing to the table, the way my views and the way that I feel. So.
And I can echo Stacey almost word for word. I can tell you, I think all three of us have butterflies in our stomach tonight. All the applicants were outstanding, did a great job. Takes a lot of courage to get up and put your name in the hat for something like this. It's not easy. You have to look and clean out your personal closet, which I think we made each of you do publicly, because those cobwebs will come out when you put your name on a ballot. We don't take this decision very lightly, because we in turn have to work with this individual for 6 months, but I, like Stacy, am looking for someone that is willing to fill the vacancy in November and get their feet wet just a little bit. When I started, I had the same situation. Wayne Clinton was our rock and our foundation, and still is, with all the knowledge and expertise, and I applaud him for that. I hate to see him go, but he is going, and Rick will be left holding that bag. So by having someone in here for 6 months, I feel that they will have a little knowledge and not have to lean so much on one supervisor and the rest of us, that they will be able to fill that vacancy for 2 more years. Don't appreciate the circumstances we're in. This is the second time I've been through an appointment, and none of us are taking this decision lightly. Next.
I want to let the candidates know that you all did an excellent job tonight, and I really appreciate that. And serving in public office seems really personal. But I would ask that whatever the decision is made tonight, whether we appoint or select finalists, that you don't take it as a personal affront if you're not on that list. We are looking for someone to fill a specific vacancy for a specific time period and balance that person against two individuals on our Board of Supervisors. So there's a lot of calculus that goes into this decision. I do think that both of the political parties have a fine selection of candidates to look for to nominate for the vacancy as well. So I would hope that they would look at this pool. And I'm just happy to know that you all had a good time chatting in the conference room together. I really liked hearing about that. So it sounded like it was a good evening in that aspect for you as well. So. So I'm just take a pulse. What's the general feeling? Is there going to be action tonight, or are we looking at a June 8th decision? That's not binding.
No, I think everybody's in wanting to know, but you know, like I said, I don't take this decision lightly, and I do have a lot of butterflies. They were all great applicants. I would like to make a motion to maybe list our top 3-4, and I'd like to sleep on that decision until June 8th.
Okay, so you bend it towards the June 8th decision.
I bend towards the June 8th
decision. Stacey?
Well, I was very adamant that I really wanted to get this done tonight, and I'm feeling the same way. I'm feeling the weight of the county a little bit more on my shoulders than I had earlier in the morning today. I would be open to the June 8th. I think that possibly each of us giving our top three or four, and then deciding on that group to come back.
Okay,
your opinion.
Can we just hypothetically talk a little bit about what a June 8th meeting would look like then?
Yes.
Okay. So I think if that's where we go tonight, then we should have a firm number of like, what if we all pick the same three people? But that's easy. If we pick 9 separate different people, then that's a problem too.
I think we go through Robert's rules of order to select either the 3 or the 4. So we're unanimous on
our team. And then are we looking to do any sort of additional application materials? Or will we just have them come back and speak again?
I hadn't got there yet.
Okay. I'm just spitballing here.
I think they could come back and maybe speak one more time of why pick me. No more than 7 minutes, you know. Okay. But I don't have any additional questions unless you guys want some.
I'm more inclined just to rip that Band-Aid off and do something tonight, but at the same time, it's a very weighty decision. So.
Let's see if we have
some consensus on the timeline.
We each list our top four candidates. Are we okay with that? Stating them out into the public, and then we can talk about it?
Or shall we nominate them one by one and say yes? I don't have the answer. Is there
anything? I think we're all getting tired and hungry too. It's probably not helping.
I think I
heard
Linda
about the
reality TV show.
So, first, I think we need a motion to say that yes, we are the option that we're choosing is to select finalists and not to make an appointment this evening, and then we can talk about.
I will make a motion that we select finalists and reconvene this for June 8th for the finalists.
Okay. Do you want a second? Does that nod mean?
See, I'm struggling with. We have all of these people here to talk. And our audience, and they deserve an answer. And as public officials, we have to make decisions just like the Board of Supervisors.
So whether it might take longer tonight, I would like to get this done tonight. I think the citizens of Story County deserve to know who their supervisor will be, and we can put the wheels in motion. It's a very hard decision as I'm looking at all of the candidates, but I really do feel I would really like to appoint someone this evening. The process, I'm not sure how we go through that. So
Renee's motion is dying for lack of a second here. This what's happening. You want to take my Band-Aid off.
Okay. So we're on to the next.
So does that need a motion to
what?
That we decide to appoint tonight or not?
Well, I think by that time, that's our answer.
Okay.
So next is consideration of additional action.
No, well, no, then we're going to make an appointment. We have to make the appointment first. So would anyone like to make a motion for a candidate? I'll go ahead and make a motion. Okay. I would move to appoint Linda Merkin as our to the Board of Supervisors. Do I have a second? Okay. So my motion is dying for lack of a second. Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion for another candidate?
I will make a motion to nominate Martin Chitty for the Board of Supervisors position.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I will second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second for Martin Chitty. Discussion. Comments from the committee?
I probably need to amend my motion to include subject to passing the criminal background check.
Oh, right.
So as we can read earlier, to amend that motion.
Accept a friendly amendment, or
I can restate it.
For yes, please restate.
I have it written down. I would like to make a motion to appoint Martin Chitty to the Board of Supervisors to fill Paul Tooth's vacancy, subject to passing the criminal background check.
Right. And just a little on that, we do have our Human Resources Director here. It requires a signed signature from whoever's appointed, and then that would take about 48 hours, you think? Okay. Further discussion?
No.
Any comments? All right.
I have a lot of comments, but not for right now. So
let's do a roll call vote. Herridge.
Aye.
Tweed.
Aye.
Martin. Nay. Motion passes. Marty. Short season in Story County. Okay. Additional action as necessitated by the chosen option. I talked a little bit about the background check. And then I would tentatively schedule a swearing in, based if that passes, on June 7th prior to the board meeting at 9 a.m. I'll see if Judge Owen. He's my black robe that I usually have. Actually, any of us could swear in, anybody. But I like the judge to do it, so it's a little photo op for the family and for the candidate. So that is our tentative plan, is to have Mr. Chitty sworn in at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, June 7th, which is also the primary election. Please go to the polls. They're open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. A little plug for my election. Okay. Announcements from the committee members.
Once again, I just want to thank everyone for your time.
And I would just like to say we don't meet regularly as a group, but this worked out pretty well. Thank you so much. Thank you for the public
input and the public participation in this meeting. It's really gratifying that we filled this room while we made this important decision. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So the
He's right there in the with the buzz cut and the shorts.
What?
FedEx guy.
Okay, I'll move to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.